My talk will be on the evaluation of the crop growth cotton model in the Australian subtropic. Cotton in Australia is a very important commodity. It's grown on around 182,000 hectares. On average, it produces around 1,300 kilograms of lint per hectare and contributes annually of about 1.5 billion Australian dollars to the Australian economy. 85% of the cotton is grown between Queensland, southern part of Queensland, and northern part of New South Wales, and most of it actually is irrigated. In Australia, the cotton modelling started in the early 80s with a simple model, which was later coupled with the soil-water balance model and improved into the Odd-Scott model, which was later adapted into the APSIM to become the APSIM Odd-Scott module. APSIM currently simulates 20 cotton cultivars, and part of the APSIM Odd-Scott model became a decision support system for cotton growers, actually. For example, Hydrologic, which is a system based on the Odd-Scott in which farmers can choose the irrigation level, and they will have the associated yield and net income for each irrigation strategy they choose. Another cotton model widely used, especially in the US, it's the crop grow cotton model, which is part of the DSAT system. It's a process-oriented model and simulates crop growth and development as a function of weather, soil, genetics, and management strategies. The crop grow cotton model, to my knowledge, was never been used out in the Australian subtropic environment, and therefore my objective was to calibrate and then evaluate the crop grow model into the kind of environment, and by doing so using a minimum data information requirement. Therefore, for this study, I used mostly the flowering date, maturity date, biomass dynamics, and final lint yield. The cultivar used for this study was a Sika 60 BRF, and the experimental field was located 100 kilometers west of Brisbane at the Kingsthorpe Experimental Station of the Department of Primary Industries in Queensland. And the growing season were the 2007 and 2008 growing season and 2009-2010 growing season. The field experiment consists in three blocks with four irrigation level and three nitrogen level. For this study, we used only the highest nitrogen level, the 200 kilogram nitrogen per hectare, because when the statistician gave us the report back, it seems there were no statistically significant difference between the other three nitrogen levels. Therefore, I only chose one to work with. The irrigation treatments were T50, although in this graph is referred as I50, but from now on it will be referred as T50, as at 228 millimeters in six, split in six applications. T60%, 83 millimeters in three applications. T70%, 82 millimeters in two applications. And the T85% had no irrigation. The calibration was made on the T50 treatments by using measurements of developmental stages, flowering and maturity, cotton lint yield, and crop biomass. The evaluation was made on the other three irrigation treatments for the 2008 growing season, and for the 2009 and 2010 growing season, using the four irrigation treatments with measured biomass and cotton lint yield. Also, I performed an evaluation of the model on nine locations between New South Wales and Queensland using measured cotton lint yield. The calibration was done on several genetic coefficients of the crop until we had an agreement between measured and simulated parameters. There are 18 genetic coefficients in the crop grow cotton, and this is this table shows which are those genetic coefficients, but for this study we changed only the one that drives the crop development, biomass accumulation, and lint yield. Therefore, the model calibration was performed by following a procedure of Booth et al. First was calibrating against flowering and maturity dates, then dry matter accumulation, and finally by modifying the coefficients that drives the yield. There is one step missing here, is the LAI or specific Leferia, but that's because we didn't have the measurement, and therefore we were working with a minimum data set. And from Dramatter accumulation, if we were happy in the way the Dramatter accumulation was simulated, we passed directly into the yield calibration. The daily weather data were used as an input by the model were corrected by a nearby weather station. And this graph shows an example of 55 years of average temperature and a rainfall for this cotton experimental site. The soil input parameters were collected beginning of the growing season, of the 2008 growing season, whereas the drain upper limit, lower limit saturation were given to me by Department of Primary Industries, because there were people using APSIM cotton model on the same site and they already had that information provided to me. The model was the evapotranspiration. The model was set as Priestley, Taylor, Ritchie. The initial conditions were measured into the field, and therefore we reported them as measured. The infiltration was set as soil conservation service method. Soil organic carbon with century. The photosynthesis with a canopy curve. The soil water balance with Ritchie method, and the soil evaporation with Suleiman Ritchie method. This slide shows the result of biomass accumulation for the calibration of the T50 experiment during the first growing season of the experiment. And this following table instead shows how the simulated and observed flowering, maturity, and yield are simulated by the model. By doing so, you will see that there is not a perfect match between the flowering and maturity date. However, I gave myself a plus or less 4 days difference in the calibration process in which the simulated date would fall within. Therefore, for example, the flowering date is simulated at 80 days of year, whereas the observer is 78. So I accepted that as an acceptable model output during the calibration process. Whereas the yield was, by adjusting the parameters that drive the yield, was quite well estimated, and I was happy with what the result I got. And these are the result of the evaluation for the other two irrigation treatments, T60 and T70, and for the non-irrigation treatments, the T85%. So there is quite the model well simulates the biomass dynamics for the whole three treatments. And also for the flowering and the physiological maturity date for the other three treatments, we were still in the range that I was thinking plus or minus 4 days between within the measured data. This graph shows the result of the evaluation of the model. Then I ran the model for the 2009-2010 growing season without modifying any genetic coefficient, but just running the model, again using the initial condition as measured before the season. They were measured using neutron probes. And we can see that from the fully irrigated to the rain-fed plot, there was a good agreement between simulated and measured biomass dynamics. And this is regarding the result of the evaluation for the yield for both years, 2008 and 2010. We further proceeded this, and we wanted to evaluate the cotton model in different locations. We chose 9 locations around Australia, 5 in Queensland, and 4 in New South Wales. 2 of them were in rain-fed cotton, the rest were mostly irrigated. The information for the yield and the management were collected from the cotton variety trials of the Cotton Seed Distribution Company. At that time, on their website, they only had the 2009 and 2010 growing season, but recently they uploaded from 2004 variety trials, so I hope in the future to validate and use other locations as well to evaluate the cotton-grow models. Therefore, we had planting dates, irrigation management, amount of irrigation, amount of nitrogen, and final yield. For the same cultivar I used for my calibration and evaluation. So I only chose the site where they had that particular cultivar. When I matched the farm, I had also where the farm were located, I could use the UpSoil database. Basically, the UpSIM group has for the whole Australia, in most part of Australia, collected soil information and put them into a database which can be downloaded as an application for Google Earth, and therefore I could check where my farm was and locate which soil to use as an input for my model. And as we can see from this graph, the weather stations are pretty well, they're quite a very good network of weather stations. So we bought the weather data close to the soil and close to the station from the Australian Bureau of Meteorology. And this is the result of our evaluation. The model was overestimating and underestimating in some areas, but this is because we didn't have initial condition for this study. So that's the only thing. So from the information we got from the cottonseed distributors, there were not this kind of information. So it was really a minimal amount of information. And therefore, these are the genetic coefficients that have been used after the calibration for the evaluation of the whole field experiment and 9 geographical locations. Therefore, the crop grow cotton well simulated biomass accumulation and lint yield in subtropical Australia. And we found that the minimum data set approach, I was satisfied with the way it worked for the model calibration, at least in this kind of environment. However, there would be ideally trial these genetic coefficients in other Australian cotton growing regions and different soil types. Most of them were all vertosoil where the cotton was growing and wasn't probably too hard for me to evaluate the cotton. Recently, one scientist at the Department of Primary Industries used the genetic coefficients I derived on a different cultivar, comparing Apsin, Modscott, and this at 4.0, the old one. And last week, he sent me an email saying that he was underestimating LAI because he had also detailed measurement, but was quite happy with the way the yield was estimated. So that's probably a good news for me for what he did. And I would like to thank my Professor Peter Grace at the Queensland University of Technology for supporting me during the last year in Brisbane, the Institute of Sustainable Resource, and Geoff Robinson at the Department of Primary Industry Toowoomba for providing the data of the 2008 and 2009 growing season and also helping me during the field data collection of the last growing season. Dr. Kevin Shear and Ravi Rowling as well, they supported me and helped me in collecting soil information. And Professor Jim Jones for his valuable comment on the cotton modeling, and Sherry Potter for the help on the technical help on the new DSAT. Thank you very much.